This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
They on Know-How.
Your questions, our answers.
Welcome to Know How. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballas here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to be showing you some of the questions you asked us so you can take them home and fix stuff on your own. Now, Brian, We've got an interesting episode. We're going to be doing some things with
every
plants.
Every episode we do is interesting.
But this one particularly, because it's got a mixture. We've got plants, we've got quadcopters, and we're going to end it with a little bit of Wi-Fi trouble diagnosis.
So we're all over the place today.
We are
There's
all
no
over the
theme
place.
For this episode.
We don't do themes.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. All right. But we're going to start it off with this. Now, you know what this is. We brought this in last year. Actually, it's probably been over a year since we first brought the AeroGrows onto the show.
Well, that's about the time that we've let these plants grow, too.
Yeah, actually, this tells you it's been growing for 160 days or so. That's way more than you're supposed to let herbs grow. And I've actually cut these all the way back. They look like dying. But
a
that's
lot.
Just because, yeah, they were actually way up here. We had the light at its maximum height, and we just figured we're going to be doing some stuff with this, so we cut them back.
Better cut it back. Yeah, I think people are starting to complain because it was coming over the edges and going over, like, computer screens and stuff.
We had basil, like, going into computer cases, so.
Yeah, should we open it?
Or not
we
not yet. That later? No, that's okay. Coming later. Okay. Because we did have a question from a member of the audience who wanted to know if he could use something like this to start his garden. In other words, he lives in one of these places where the weather's not great right
now.
Mars.
Yeah.
Mars. He lives on Mars where it's nice and cold and plants usually die if you put them outside. So he wanted to know if he could start them in an aero garden. Brian.
Sounds like a good idea.
You want to go ahead and kick us off?
All right. So Michael asked, I live just outside of Dallas, Texas, and it is the time to start my tomato seeds. You talked about the Miracle-Gro Aero Garden product on your show, and I plan to purchase one. There seem to be several choices, Sprout, Harvest Bounty, Elite, Ultra, and Bounty Elite Plus Wi-Fi. I plan to purchase the Elite, and I need to know if the Wi-Fi feature is worth the extra cost.
Okay, good. Now,
so that means, like, remote access or something?
Remote access. Basically, we're going to show you a couple of the different models that we played with. The first one, and Alex, we have a link for this, was the Aero Garden Harvest. This was the nice little teeny tiny one. It's going to cost you about $120, six pods. This thing worked really well. This was the first garden we ever had.
I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's got a 20-watt LED lighting system. It's 100 full-spectrum LED lights on an adjustable arm that can go up about 12 inches, so right about there. So that's its maximum height. And that's decent for starting, especially since it's only $120. But the one that we've been playing with, what we really liked is this. We've got a link for this as well. This is the Aero Garden Bounty Elite. This is a 45-watt LED lighting system, can handle 9 pods, and it has that little touchscreen. And the touchscreen is not just for fun. It will actually help you grow. It'll tell you when you need nutrients, when you need water. It will actually measure your days so you know when it's time to flip your plants into flowering if that's what you want to do. Now, the one he asked about is the Aero Garden Bounty Elite Wi-Fi. We have a link for this as well. This is kind of replace the Bounty Elite. There's no reason why you would buy a Bounty Elite anymore because they're the same price.
Oh, yeah.
It's the exact same product, exact same specs. The difference is that now there's an app you can download so you could control things from a distance.
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's cool.
But yeah, so you can choose the one that you want. The original question was, would this be a good way for you to start your crops indoor? The answer is absolutely yes. Kind of.
What?
Yeah, this is where we all get messy. We get know-howy. You know, that's how this
works.
That's
how we roll.
This
is
how we roll. Now, we did. We cut back these plants again because they were becoming unmanageable, and we didn't like that. That's not good for us because it means that we've got plants everywhere.
Well, you're supposed to cut them back because we did let the basil go kind of on its own for a while, and it ended up blooming, and then at that point, it won't taste that great.
And actually, Alex, if you go to the overhead, you can see this is the one we let grow out, and notice how more stringy it is than these. And that's just because we let it go into flower, bad things happen. Now, we've cut these all way, way back. I'm kind of hoping that a couple of these die because I do want to weed this garden out. There's some, like, we never used this one, and the parsley was disgusting.
Why do you want them to suffer? If you don't want them, why don't you just toss them?
No, because then that would be wasteful. But if they just die on their own, that's okay.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you're going to be using this to start a crop, you got to know that you're going to have this issue. And if you go to the side view here,
this is messy.
This is kind of not great.
This is what, 100 and something? 160 days?
Yeah, this is way too many days of growth. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to get this nasty, nasty root mass. Now, you will notice that some of it is black. That's actually not the roots that are rotting. What happened was I pulled out a couple of pods a while ago.
So
the roots that they left behind have started to decay. But most of it is this nice white that you see. That's good. You want white roots are good.
Yeah.
The darker they get, the worse.
It looks like an alien nest or something.
It does work. And actually, I'm going to, if you could unplug that.
Yes.
That does not look
natural.
Really appetizing.
Should you cut those back?
That's the thing. If you can get that container a little closer.
Oh.
That one?
Oh, I see your transfer.
There we go. There we go. I'm going to put it in here just for safekeeping. What we're going to have to do is, once it gets like this, the problem you're going to have is, as you pull out the pods to transplant them outdoors, you're going to have this root mass.
Right.
And you don't want to destroy the root mass because the roots are the roots. That you destroy the roots and you have no more plant.
Exactly.
But by the same token, it's becoming unmanageable. And now that we've cut these all back, we don't really need all that many roots.
Right.
You know, these are basically ready to resprout, but what it means is I have to get all trimmy.
Why do you get that look in your eyes?
Because I'm going to be killing roots. Yeah. Well, also, this is a good time. If you look in the overhead, Alex, we actually have roots that are growing into the pump.
Oh.
That's a pretty good indicator that maybe they've
let
been
them
growing
go
a little too far.
Yeah, once you start seeing the roots coming out of the sides and trying to grab things off the table, usually about the time it's cut.
And people were hanging their jewelry on these things, so that's weird.
I don't know if they're hanging jewelry on them or if someone just got pulled in and we haven't found them.
They're dead now. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, if you could lift this up. So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna try to separate some of the root systems. You'll notice this huge, nasty one right here. That's from the parsley, and bad parsley. Don't do that. You're disgusting.
Well, so if you're going to use this to start your plants and then plant them outside, are they going to be hardy enough? Like if there's insects and things like
that? Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, they'll have it's sort of a bonus from not having all of that to deal with when it was they were first growing.
Oh, cool.
And see, what I'm doing is I'm peeling away some of these outer layers of roots, especially the ones that are blackened because they're disgusting and you should feel bad about them.
Shouldn't be there.
See, this is bad. When the root system has actually attacked and integrated the water filter into itself.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, well, I'll put that back in there. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so, I mean, there's no gentle way to do this. You are going to be chopping up roots. And actually, here, if you flip to the side, I'm getting all the water on my side. If you go to that side view, that's kind of disgusting.
It's fine. It's just plants.
Yeah, what that is that's the decay of the root system that we left in from the pods we pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Not particularly great. Okay, so here, you want to get on this? Here, just help.
You want me to just hold it for you?
No, just get in there and start separating.
No, that's all right.
Come on, Brian. Come on. It's the circle of life.
Separate.
This is like the Lion King and stuff.
Doesn't
plants
feel like you should be doing this to the
You really shouldn't. You really shouldn't at all. I would never recommend this. However, this is what happens when you let them go out of control. So, you know, if you are thinking about starting, just know that this is one of the issues that you're going to run into because at some point you're going to want to transplant these things, and I can't just pull this out right now. These pods will die completely.
All right.
Okay. I didn't mean, like, rip it out from the pod, but okay.
Well, yeah.
You killed the plants, Brian.
Not the first
one. You've done a bad job, and you should feel bad.
I already do.
I know.
Every plant I touch dies.
Okay. See, like this, that's probably not going to grow again. I'm just thinking.
The parsley? Or just this root?
That root. Well, considering the fact that I've cut it off from everything.
Okay.
Do you feel better?
No, not really.
Okay. Ideally, what you'd like to do is, I want to get all this black root mass because it is the old pod, but the decaying tissue is actually going to start to affect the other roots. And
that's
generally a bad thing. What you can do, what I've done in the past, is if you run a little bit, a small solution of hydrogen peroxide inside of your nutrient formula, it's kind of like bleaching the roots, but really it gets rid of like the decaying material.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Here, can you hold this? Just hold that up because I'm gonna go crazy on this.
With the interest of time,
roots will die. See, that's not great.
I am Groot.
Yeah. Groot's in pain because I'm ripping out his innards right now. But If you are going to use one of these systems, what I would suggest is grow no longer than about 3 months.
Yeah, and we went what?
This is like, over 6 months. this is way too long. And as you can see, when that happens,
well, I think the impressive part is how much we ignored this and how well it still did. So yeah.
We were trying to kill the plant, and actually, right now, I'm still trying to kill the plant. See, that's not good. Whenever you have something like that.
Is that a filter again?
That's not the filter. That's the old root mass that kind of decayed.
Jeez.
And again, yeah, some of these pods are probably not going to survive, but I'm okay with that because I really did want to start over a new garden. it's true. I mean, the mint was good. The parsley was useless. The basil was good. But, a lot of this we just didn't really need.
Nope.
Doesn't this make you hungry, Brian?
Not really. Not anymore.
I mean, this is what goes in your burger.
What?
Well, if you eat a veggie burger.
Veggie burger?
Yeah.
That's what our next project should be.
Okay. All right. See, now when we do put this back in, this the plants that do survive are going to be a lot healthier because they're not getting choked. The roots aren't competing for space with like a lot of this decaying root mass.
It's like the Hunger Games. It's the strongest survive at this point.
Yeah, well, at this point, it's also the ones that I like will survive.
Oh.
Because I'm killing everything else. Like, this is probably going to die.
What is that?
That's dill.
Nah, we don't need that.
Yeah. Nobody likes dill. Dill, nobody likes you. There are people who do hydroponic systems who have much better ways to do this. They actually cut them back with regularity. Again, I probably would have, except I got really lazy and we didn't.
That doesn't sound like us at all.
I know. Also, you're going to notice that there are some plants, again, like this parsley, that are really, really problematic when you grow them in groups because their root systems are so aggressive that they'll start to take over the space from the other plants that already exist. Remember, the parsley we put in here probably 3 months after the rest. So the parsley's only been here for 3 months, and it's already taking over the entire environment.
Okay, so if we got into this the situation that we're in now, we wanted to start planting them in an outside garden, would you let these plants rest for a little bit now?
Oh, gosh,
yes. Then plant them?
Yeah, I mean, these are probably going to need a good 2 weeks minimum before they'd be ready to do anything again.
Okay.
So what we can do is now that we've sort of narrowed down the root system, and remember, the only reason why we could do that was because I already cut back all the stuff on the top.
Right.
If I had done that and these were still that high, they'd die almost immediately because there'd be nothing left to feed them. But because there's so little here, they're going to go. The plants are going to go into shock for a while. They're not going to grow. In fact, they're going to look really, really sickly. But then the ones that do survive,
they already look kind of terrible.
But I mean, here, we could offer this. By the way, we have an audience right now. We have the sixth graders? There they are. See?
Hey, everybody.
What school are they from again?
McKinley Elementary.
Hello, McKinley. Yeah. Would any of you like some really good looking roots? You can have. Okay, these are all for
There's
you.
There's a lot there of volunteers
have,
for that.
Have. And to their parents, I'm really, really sorry.
I already tossed those paper towels over there, too.
Here you go. You're going to need those. All right. Okay, so Brian,
yes.
That's one thing. That's our arrow garden. We're going to need to move on. Let's get this off the table here really quickly because I kind of want to get away from the scene of the crime now that I've destroyed this.
Yeah, right?
You poisoned the kids.
I poisoned the kids. Sorry about that, kids. Now, you know, Brian, that's one of the things I love about growing. I've really figured it's made me let go of the typical tech mentality, the techie mentality is everything has to be perfect, everything has a place, everything has, you know, the instruction you have to follow.
Right. There's a procedure.
Plants are more of an art.
They are. Yeah, especially when we started these projects of doing grow-how things. Yep. Like, I just killed plants because I didn't understand. I just figured give them water a lot.
And more as many nutrients as they better. Can have,
yeah, right? No, it totally is. It's a balance. It's definitely a balance and figuring out the right amount for what plant.
You know, Brian, I'm glad that you thought that it's a good balance because you may remember these require a lot of balance.
We're changing gears here.
We are changing gears because the next set of questions was actually not from a particular user. It was from a couple of different users. We have recommended these a lot. These are the SEMA X5s.
This is my favorite beginner quad.
Yes. Because what we wanted is we wanted people to try to start with a quadcopter that, it's hard to destroy, it's relatively inexpensive, and is incredibly easy to pilot, and yet gave you the feel of one of the larger quadcopters.
Yes.
So what we came up with was these. So we've loved playing these. Right, Brian?
Yeah, it's been a while, though. I'm kind of rusty.
I wonder if I could buzz the students from McKinley. Yeah. Yes, there we go.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I put it in the high mode. That's not good. That's...
This is probably really bad. We don't have the insurance waivers for this, but
nope.
That's okay.
Oh, man, I'm really rusty.
Wait. Come here, Brian.
What?
Ah,
is it drone fight time?
I am victorious.
All right, you win round one.
All right, so... But the reason why we bring these out here is because they also have a major problem, and that is people burn out motors a lot.
That's part of the fun, right?
Yeah. The issue is, of course, when they sold these things, they thought people were going to fly it, and then with that same battery that they flew, they're going to recharge it so it gets 45 minutes to cool down.
Not the case, because you can buy 5 of those batteries at once and then swap them out and continue to run it into walls.
And
like
that's
did.
What we did, mm-hmm. right? And the problem, of course, is that you overheat the motors, and when you overheat the motors, they burn out. These are not super expensive motors. They're kind of chintzy. They're dime store type, and heat kills them. So when you overheat them, they seize up.
But it is fun to... It's not too difficult to replace motors if you already know that you're going to have to at some point.
Right. And what I often tell people is when they buy these, just go ahead and buy the second pack of motors.
You know, there's a rubber band on it.
I know. It's to tell me which one's broken. So if you look at this, when I spin this up... Oh,
that's so sad.
And this is not going to fly really
this
well.
This has happened to... I would say every single one of these quads we've had has happened to.
At least one point.
Motor. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, normally what I would do is when this has happened, I'd replace all the motors because they're probably all on their way out. But we're only going to do one right now. We did do a fantastic tutorial. You did a tutorial on this that you can look up on our YouTube channel, and you can just watch the entire thing. We had a couple of people who wrote it, and they said we watched the tutorial. We were still a little bit puzzled about exactly what we should do. Mm. So I thought, let's go ahead and just do it live.
A little. Okay. Because whenever we do live demos, that always works out well.
They always go really well, right?
Perfectly.
So
flawless.
The first thing you want to do, of course, is remove the power. You don't want to be working on any of these,
that
even if
key.
It's low power.
Right.
If it's got power, because that's a bad thing.
And to be fair, like even though this motor on here has died, we've put these through a lot of abuse.
Yes.
Like more than they should ever have gone through.
Oh, yeah. And here, why don't I hand you this? You can be responsible for getting us all plugged in with our soldering station here.
Okay.
And I'm going to start the disassembly. There are, unfortunately, a lot of screws that you're going to have to take out in order for this to work. If you go ahead and switch to the...
The nice thing, though, is they're all the same size, and they do send, or at least the Slima I got, comes with the screwdriver that you need to replace all of them.
Also, I should note that... I've lost a lot of screws before, and you really only need like 4.
It's weight reduction, right?
Yeah, so there you know, it's you're helping along the aerodynamics of the craft by removing pieces. That's totally not true. Don't do that. Try to keep all your screws. And actually, I lost my screwdriver. But that's okay.
We're off to a good start, then, aren't we?
we're doing well. This is going to take a little bit of time because I've got 3 screws on each of the ends here. Plus, I've got the mid screws here, plus those 2 screws. So that's probably the hardest part of this process. That's just to remove all the screws and not let them go everywhere. What I typically do is I try to leave them in the housing.
Right.
So I just loosen them. You can feel when they click, it means that they're out of the other part of the frame.
Part of the frame. And then as you take it apart, you realize how much of the structure of the frame is the bottom part, like the connected part together, because it's so weak without it together.
This is a great project for anyone who just wants to see how things work, because you'll see when we take this apart, this shell is really flimsy. It's like paper, basically.
Yeah, this is the stress member together with it. And it's neat to see how tiny the board in there is.
Yeah. These quads, Brian, I have found can take way more abuse than anything else that we've ever used.
Oh, yeah. We remember when we were in the other studio and we had the giant room, the green screen room, and we would just pretty much slam them into each other and into the wall.
That was the job. It was a competition. It was who could stay in the air after we've had a collision.
Right. Right. And then we were trying to land upside down a few times too.
That which surprisingly does not work.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought that quadcopters wouldn't want to land upside down? The other thing about this is one of the reasons why these are so durable is precisely because they are so flimsy.
Right. They can take an impact and kind of distribute the...
Precisely.
Yeah.
The problem that we have with a lot of the heavier quadcopters is because they're built so tough, when they take a strike, A, there's a lot more weight, and B, they're not really designed to bend. They're designed to snap.
Right. Well, I had that incident with my 450 where the arm broke, which was fine because it ran into the side of my house, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. It ran into the side of your house?
Okay, I flew it into the side of my house. That's nearly killing one of my friends.
We've got children here, so maybe we could be honest.
Well, if you fly quads, you're going to crash. That's just what happens. But rather than shattering the whole frame, just one of the arms broke, which was much easier to replace.
Right. Whereas versus this is a unibody. If you shattered one of the arms, this is done.
I would be impressed if you shattered one of the arms on this.
I ran this thing full speed into the side of a building. Being blown by the wind. And it just kind of bounced off and then started flying again. So.
This is one of the few cheap toys that I played with that you can actually fly outside. Because I used to fly those little helicopters outside, and then the gust of wind would just take it to some roof, and I'd never see it again.
Yeah. And actually, I think what we're going to do, if the teacher allows it, I think we're going to give one of these to McKinley, because they need to learn about quadcopters.
Yeah, they should practice.
And these are really, really safe. I've flown mine into Brian all the time.
Just for fun.
And he's very rarely affected.
No, the physical scars are gone, but the emotional scars are still there.
And remember, folks, emotional scars are the best kinds of scars.
They last forever.
They do. Now, when you did this, Brian, what would you say was the tough part for you?
Well, my mistake when I first did this project was rather than soldering straight to the board for the motor, I tried splicing the wires together.
Yeah.
And the first time I did that, forgot the heat shrink. Second time I did that, it worked. And then you reminded me, why would you not just solder it to the board directly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good point. Well, I already did it, so we're going to leave it.
Yeah. The other thing, this is something that, if you look at this right here, Alex, actually, you can go to the overhead. There you go. Right here, I had to remove this gear because this motor had completely jammed it up. Oh. But this is something that's good to look at. If you have a prop that's not working, take a look at the pinion gear. If the pinion gear is cracked or missing, it might actually be that and not the motor.
Right. Am I remembering correctly that you ordered brass?
I did.
Brass sprockets for these?
Which work really well for a while.
And then they don't.
Yeah. They tear everything up.
Well, that was what happened. It was such a great entry-level quad that we had, and working on it was a lot of fun, that you, try and mod it a little bit more. But then you get to the point where it's I just should upgrade to another quad.
Right. And actually, those are the motors right there if you want to take a look at them. And they do have the brass pinions because I thought I should chew these up as well.
Which tree should I look at? Oh, this one. Yeah, these are the motors. You can order them... in bulk, which I would recommend because they're not too expensive, but...
And you will go through a lot of them. And you'll know, look at this. So I've removed a couple of screws. Go to that side view again, if you could move that out of the way a little bit.
Okay.
So notice how once you started detaching these screws, this thing becomes incredibly flexible. That's because the strength comes from the two parts of the shell actually being tied together. Once you start removing that, it's going to lose all structural integrity.
But if you're ordering parts for this, you should, if you want to keep these little LED covers, you're probably going to want to get more of those. Crazy glue them. And everything ships from China on a really slow boat. So
that's why we always say order them when you buy it. Because otherwise you're going to be sitting there idle for 2 weeks while you try to replace the motors.
Yeah. And that's no fun.
No, not at all. I think these have actually come down in price. If you lose them and you still have the transmitter, you can buy one of these for $15.
That was what the other mod I did for the transmitter was adding a 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi antenna on it, and it extended the range crazy to the point where you couldn't see it anymore.
Such a small quadcopter is probably not a great idea.
No, because the range is decent as far as they go, stock.
Right.
But it was kind of neat to be able to fly it, a few football fields away.
Now, here's one of the things that... you'll notice, which is...
Totally not losing screws.
You'll want to do... I marked this because once you start disassembling it, you're
going to forget
which one's broken. That's not a problem if you replace all the motors, but if you're only replacing one or two, go ahead and mark the ones that are actually faulty.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed a few screws. Hold on.
It happens. There's a lot of them on there.
Well, again, because they have to be. That's where all the strength comes from. If you don't have all the screws in here... Actually, put tape? Tape
past Padre?
Oh my gosh.
To mess with future Padre?
No. I would never put tape. I would put glue because that's much better.
That's much more permanent.
Yeah. Go ahead. Is that fired up?
It's plugged in. I can turn it on here.
There we go. There we go. Let's go ahead and set this aside. Oh, wait. You lift it, please.
There
you.
We go.
All right.
Let me just move my computer away from that heat
what,
source.
You don't want me to destroy your computer, man?
Not this one. Not like the last one.
That's selfish. I mean, these people want to see a soldering iron go through a laptop.
Nah, that's all right. We'll save that for the next time class comes.
Today on Know How, we're destroying Cranky Hippo's computer.
I need it.
Yeah. What other modifications have we made to these over the years?
Okay, so we did I painted it, which is really is key if you buy one in, like this one that's all white, and you can't, when you're flying it, you don't know which way is front or back other than the LEDs underneath. So if you paint the propellers, I did green on one side, orange on the other, you can really tell which direction you're flying it.
It's also important if, like us, at one time you have seven of those in the air, because you will quickly forget which one is yours, and you're now trying to control a quadcopter that you're not actually controlling, which does not lead to great pilot efficiency.
No, that could be the difference between winning the battle and losing the battle.
Most of the time we lose the battle.
And I think the next thing we did, we started doing like weight reduction mods, where you took off the gear, took off the landing gear.
The camera, definitely the camera. Don't leave the camera on there. I don't care what they tell you. That camera is a piece of junk. It's horrible. Yeah. And you know what? If you bought the camera, save it in case you want to put it back on. But it's just
not really worth it. What else did we do to these?
I can't get these two screws out. They just don't want
to. Do you need to take a look at that, Padre?
Can you do this for me, Brian?
Which screwdriver can I use?
Use that one. You can use you can use any screwdriver you want. While you do that, I'm going to go ahead and start getting these motors out. You will notice when you buy these, you're typically going to buy them in sets of four. You can go all the way from, I think it was $7 for a set on the low end, all the way up to, these were like $12, because they do have the brass pinion gears. They have a color coding, and for a reason, you're going to have two of one color coding and two of the other. That's because we've got clockwise and counterclockwise motors. Know that, because if you install them backwards, the quad won't fly.
Yes, we learned that. Do keep track of that. We did.
Okay. So while you do that, Brian, you know what I'm going to do?
You did point out if you do mess up the soldering, can't you just reverse the wires? You don't have to like remove the motor. You can just reverse them because it's the electrical signal reverses the polarity.
Because it's not like the three-phase motors that we use. These are just AC, DC. These are standard DC, so if I put voltage one way, it goes one way. If I turn it the other way, it goes the other way.
Right.
So while you do that, I'm going to go ahead and terrorize some school children.
Again?
Yeah. Because that's what I do best.
Be careful.
There we go. This guy looks like he's sleeping, so I'm just going to do a little bit of that. You really shouldn't be doing this over minors, by the way. I'm probably violating a couple of safety laws.
Anyway. All right, got this. Okay, I lost the screw.
Oh, well.
Right. Oh, you can do tricks, too.
I could do tricks.
Hit the button.
Well, because the button gets kind of unpredictable.
I probably don't do it over people.
Again, don't do that over school.
Always practice drone safety, you know? Don't fly it at people. Don't fly it over children.
So
in
order to do this, you're going to need some sort of soldering station. You're going to want wire strippers, just in case. You need a little bit of solder. Mm-hmm. And a poker also helps to hold down the wire, because these are actually really small on these traces.
Tiny.
This is all that's inside, folks. Inside that quadcopter is just this. This is everything. Like, the larger quadcopters that we build, you have a power distribution board, you have the flight controller, and then you have the receiver. This is the flight controller, the power distribution board, and the receiver, and the speed controller. So everything's contained within one board.
Yeah.
Now, the dead motor, again, because I have it here, is right here, which is a red and blue motor. So I'm going to pull red and blue motor.
I'm going to zoom this side shot in.
There we go.
Sure.
Like this. So what I want to do is I want to desolder.
You might want to go top.
These two wires from this pad, and I want to solder these two wires on. Now, what I need to do is I need to make sure that I'm going to solder the right wires to the right pads. What I've done sometimes is I'll go ahead and take a picture so I know that red is on the outside of the board and blue is on the inside of the board. And the picture will just help me remember which way I'm supposed to solder them back. So let me just do a quick separation. There we go. These were not well soldered in the first place, so all I'm going to do is dab this like so. Mm-hmm. And come on, There we go. That's off. And that's off.
Yeah, those are tiny little pads.
Tiny little pads. Now, remember, I have red on the outside. I actually don't have to tin these. They've been pre-tinned. I can just attach this one to this side, like so. Basically, I'm tacking it until it melts.
It's so, everybody watch. Can he do it?
I have really bad vision, by the way, so I...
So this is perfect for you.
Right now, it looks like I am... Actually, you know, I have to increase my solder temperature. This is not melting this really well. And you should always do this while you're pointing your soldering iron at your co-host. That's not dangerous at all. And remember, kids, if you're holding the soldering iron and it smells like bacon, you are holding the wrong side.
It's true. It's a good tip.
There we go. Okay, that's one, and here's two.
You know what we did want to do is add, like, more LEDs and stuff to it.
We did, and I did that. The problem was that the LEDs actually drained what little power the thing had, and I went from, you know, 5 minutes of flight time to 60 seconds of flight time.
Not worth it.
That was not really worth it. LEDs are normally worth it, but that's not worth it.
Not in this case. I'm still just really impressed at how small that board is for everything that it does.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they have to make it small.
Well, we have, cell phone technology to thank for all the advancements and accelerometers and everything else that goes into quadcopters
all,
to make
all
them
the
fly.
Good stuff, is I think is what they call it.
All the good stuff.
Okay, I'm just going to move that out of the way. So removing the motor is super simple. All I have to do is remove the old wiring harness, like so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fortunately, they're not too difficult to disassemble.
No. And then just pull it right out. Just pops out. New motor goes in. And it gets held on by this cowling. So when I reinstall the cowling, it's going to force the motor down. And on the bottom side, what we need to do is make sure that that motor is now engaged with this. And as I turn one, you can see it turns the pinion gear as well. So that means that when the motor turns, that entire assembly is going to turn. And that assembly is what the propeller is attached to.
Nice. Are we going to try and see if it works?
Well, we're going to turn it on. I'm not going to reassemble the whole thing.
And then
it's
fly
take
it again?
Forever.
Yeah.
We're going to fly the other ones.
Sure.
But see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and reattach this propeller like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to screw it in so that when I turn it on, it's going to fly off and potentially hit one of the kids in the audience.
Or me.
Or you. I mean, that's okay. If it's you, it's cool.
That's true. That's true. I'm covered.
All right. So here we go. Take out the old bad motor. I need a battery.
Wasn't there one in it already?
Yeah. Here we go.
I mean, we can pirate one of these.
Yeah, I got this. So what we're looking for is they should all spin up now.
They should.
Should.
The moment of truth.
Okay, well, there we go. When the battery's actually connected. There we go.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's really that simple. The longest part of that repair is just removing all the screws.
Yes.
But again, remember, you don't need to splice any wires. Just literally desolder it from the central controller board and then resolder it. Take pictures as you go so that if you do get lost or if you walk away and you kind of forget where you are, you'll still be able to do this. By the way, I don't think I can actually fly this. No,
why is it blinking?
Because the battery keeps coming out.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, if you have any questions about this, again, remember, Brian made a tutorial, but some people were complaining that they didn't think that the tutorial gave them enough information. Well, you've now seen the process completely, and you can have happy flying. Hey, Brian, can you join me?
Yeah, sure. Ooh. All right. Yeah, let's see if I remember how to do tricks. Yeah. Oh, it's all coming back to me, Padre. Let's see if I can get Alex. Oh, man, this studio is... Whoa, there's a lot of stuff in here. Hang on. All right, drone down. Is it still... Oh, it's okay. We can fly this.
Wait. No, come here.
No.
Ah. Ah.
We need a rescue drone.
I want to get on top of you. Right there. What are you going to note about now, Brian?
Nothing.
Now we're... Oh, saved.
All right, I'm going over to get my drone back.
Folks, remember, we are going to be getting back into a couple of quadcopter projects. We did a bunch for about a year. We've kind of laid off it for a year and a half just because people were starting to get a little tired of quadcopters. But we will be coming back because they are an ever popular topic
here. How could you get tired of quadcopters?
I know, right? They're so fun. All right, let's go ahead and move on because we've got something that's a bit more practical. We had a question from Robert Short about Wi-Fi. Brian, what do we got?
All right, Robert asked, okay, I got one for you all. Need a little help or at least your thoughts. Got an issue with Wi-Fi on my laptop Dell R4110. It will drop Wi-Fi for no reason. I have an ASUS RTN66R router, and using the Wi-Fi from the Chromecast router, I can switch between routers and reconnect with no issues. I have reloaded the drivers and even changed out the PCIe card. Anyone run into this before?
Yes. Actually, yes.
That same model number Dell laptop and everything?
Dell laptops in particular have been having issues on the Wi-Fi side, even past driver updates. Now, I don't want to say it's a hardware problem, but I'm thinking it might be actually an antenna problem. But there are a couple of other things that you can check. One, don't use the Intel drivers. Use the Windows native drivers. A lot of times the Intel driver that you can install on Dell laptops to give it additional functionality. In other words, there's one screen where you control Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. That actually causes the hardware to recycle like every 60 minutes or so.
Oh, okay.
And so you drop and you come back. The other thing to check, and hopefully it's this instead, don't use the Wi-Fi on that Comcast router. Comcast routers are trash.
Oh, they're horrible. Chromecast. It's Comcast.
Comcast. They're really, really bad.
Like Chromecast doesn't make sense.
Yeah, especially if you've got an ASUS RTN66R, which does have Wi-Fi. What I would suggest is turn off the Wi-Fi on the Comcast router.
Yeah.
Turn it on the ASUS RTN66R. And if that solves the problem, then you know that's where the issue. This is called differential diagnosis. What you want to do is change one piece at a time until the problem goes away, and then that tells you what it is. Another thing you might want to do is get yourself a super cheap USB Wi-Fi dongle. You can get one for like $5 on Amazon. Plug that in. Use that as your active Wi-Fi connection. If it never drops out, then it is probably on the laptop side. If it doesn't drop out, it's probably on the network side. And then you do differential diagnosis to decide what parts of either the laptop or the network it might be.
Right. Don't change all the things at once. And if it works, great. But if it doesn't, then you're just going to make the process longer. But those Comcast routers are worthless. Like
they
are modem router combination, don't use those.
Yeah. Something else to check is there is a keep alive setting on ASUS routers that basically looks at the WAN port. And if the WAN port drops out, then it disables functionality of the router. It's basically a warning to let you know I'm no longer connected to the internet.
It shuts down everything.
Yeah, at least it used to be. I think they've taken that out. If that's there, uncheck that, because you do want it to maintain a connection for as long as it can, even if it doesn't think it has a connection to the outside world. But yeah, that's another thing to check. Unfortunately, this is the worst kind of troubleshooting that you can do in the consumer electronics world, and that is an intermittent problem. If I can make the problem happen at all times, very easy to diagnose. If it only happens once a week or once a day, much more difficult. But try the differential diagnosis thing one piece at a time. Don't change everything, and you'll have a better network for it.
Good tips, Padre. Those are really frustrating problems when you can't recreate it and it happens only once in a blue moon, and it's like just frustrating enough that you might ignore it for a little while and then it'll work again and then wait another week and it happens. That was happening to me with my my modem. And I had to upgrade it, so.
Yeah. All right, let's do one last one before we hand it off. We actually have something that, I think we should do this. Alex, if you show the question from Francisco Noguera. Right?
Is this the one where I talked?
Yeah, this is you.
Okay. There's one we talked about earlier where we weren't going to say anything. We pulled it up.
No, it's just blue.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So he asks, before anything else, let me just say that having been accepted into the G+ community just today, the first thing I would like to mention is that I feel that the categories for distinct tech stuff would be greatly welcomed. Of course, there will be some overlapping, although I feel that this is less of an issue than having just a single discussion category, in my honest opinion.
Okay. And actually, yes, we've gotten this quite a few times. I've gotten emails from people who would like to have the G Plus community a little better organized. Yeah. And I think it's actually grown to the size where we should consider that. And we're going to take it one step further. We're now going to be using mods. So if you have been part of the G Plus community for a while, if you've contributed, if you haven't trolled it, ask. Go ahead and write us at knowhow@twit.tv and ask to be a moderator of the G Plus group. We're going to be, I'm thinking probably about a dozen. We'll take about a dozen people who can help.
One person for every 1,000 that we have.
Exactly. Yeah. that's about right, the 1,000 okay. to one. But we're going to be taking mods who will have the ability to move topics, move messages into particular topics, who'll be able to help us approve people and get rid of the spam cam girls. But if you are interested in moderating our community in any way, if you want to help us form that community the way that you think it will make it grow the best, again, knowhow@twit.tv.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Brian. That was a lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff. We got to fly drones, too.
We killed a bunch of plants.
Yep.
We broke a drone.
And we answered some questions. Cool.
And we did it all with some school children.
An audience.
Who are going to have the ability to go in the back and just break all the stuff on that table back there.
That's right. That's why we got there.
By the way, the hat with the little LEDs, you're going to want that. That's good stuff.
Go ahead and take that. Padre doesn't like it.
folks, we know this was a lot of information, and we're going to make sure you have links to everything, including the video that Brian did, so you can fix your own SEMA-class quadcopter. Brian, where did they find those?
You can go to twit.tv/KH, and not only will you find all the show notes, the things that we talked about today, but links. I'll throw in a link on Amazon of the SEMA, so you can get one for yourself, maybe some extra batteries, too.
Yeah.
But you can also subscribe and download there.
I like the picture you chose.
Is that a good one?
We look like magicians, like really bad magicians.
We're knowledge magicians. We make it disappear.
Nodgicians?
Nodgicians. We'll work on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Also, don't forget that you can find us again in our Google Plus group. Just go to Google Plus, look for Know How. There's a very short approval process. Go ahead and jump in, and we've got almost 11,000 Kitas, our know-it-alls. It's a great group of people in all stages of their maker DIY journey. Some are experts, some are intermediate, some are brand new to the game. No matter where you are, come in, ask questions, answer questions, show us your projects. We'll put everything here on Know How the next time we have a feedback episode.
That's right. But if you want to see what we're doing outside of Know How, or what kind of corgi gifts that I'm finding. Did you see the one I found last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was a good one, right?
No, that was not. You know, I don't understand this corgi. Okay, let's ask the school. How many of you like corgis?
All right.
Oh, those
hey, three hands.
The little dogs that look like tater tots.
Yeah, they know.
No, see, more of them realize corgis are ugly, ugly dogs.
They are an abomination.
They are an abomination. They've got tiny little legs. They can barely get their stomachs off the ground.
You like them. Okay. How dare you? Oh, there it is. That's the one I found. Look at that.
No. That's a corgi. Now, would you rather have that or like a Pomeranian or a German Shepherd?
No, you're going to go with the copter dog.
That's not even a dog. That's like a...
It's a copter dog.
It's a hot dog with stumps.
That's what makes them so appealing.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, if you want to see more of that, or I probably just lost like a bunch of followers.
You did.
You can go to Twitter. I'm @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me @PadreSJ. And you're going to find the third member of our team, Mr.
Grumble.
Jimmy Buff... No. What's his name?
He hasn't been here that long, has he?
No. Yeah. He's brand new.
But he works in the darkness, though.
We call him Jimmy Boy, but you're going to find him at...
He's got Padre, that's Alex Gumpel. Thank you. I've been here for over 6 years.
Oh, right. That sounds kind of familiar.
I know. Not really. I don't got it. But ANELF3, he always tries to mute me when I say that, on Twitter. Go ahead and join up and tell him he's a nice guy. Oh, and by the way, something very, very important. Right now, Twitter is doing a survey. Or Twit. Twitter's
Twitter
doing one too, but
too,
Twit is the more important one. Twit.tv/survey. If you go there, you can tell us what you want to see. We actually do have a selection for educational.
Oh, do?
Yeah, so if you want to see more know-how.
I haven't taken the survey yet.
Go take the survey. If you want to see more know-how, go ahead and jump into the Twit audience survey. Tell them that you want to see more how-tos, how-to-dos.
If there's an option for that. If there isn't, then just email your local Twit representative. Yeah.
Email to brian@twit.tv. And he'll help you out.
Yes, I will forward those messages.
Brian with an I.
No, it's not.
Until next time, I am Father Robert Ballaser.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how...
Go build it. Or disassemble it. Or lose all the screws to it.
Or fly the quadcopter.
Yeah. I think mine's still on.
Who knows how to fly a quadcopter?
Or who wants to learn?
Who wants to try to fly a quadcopter? Yeah. Okay, she was up first, so here you go. Come on over. Okay, wait till it starts. Oh, let me do this. Wait till it goes to slow blink.